For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Ooh, welcome back, sports fans, to another episode of the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, or in the water, do you believe? We have some great content for you guys today. We got UFC, NBA, USA team basketball, tennis, and a whole lot more. So buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back.
And now, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. We are live on the Charity Stripe Podcast with your hosts, Alex, Josh, and Nick.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Hit your free throws, because they have episode 345 coming hot at you guys. And episode 344, and I'm joined on this one by Alex Tosmirock, Tosopoulos, and Nikki Snacks Kreider. And a lot has happened in the sporting world. We'll start with Saturday's festivities. Conor McGregor loses to Dustin Poirier, UFC 264. Snaps his ankle dead in half. Poirier said he cracked it on a checked kick. McGregor denies that. I think we all are under the assumption that Poirier is correct, and that the minute McGregor really tried to put some weight on it, his leg snapped in half.
Yeah, McGregor threw a lot of kicks at the front leg early on in the fight. Yeah. It was clearly something he was looking to do. Funnily enough, every time he threw the kick, I feel like Poirier was just like, all right, cool.
Yeah. I mean, I think Poirier was obviously the favorite. I think we've kind of have seen the end of McGregor, unfortunately. The way he was, it was just like such a sad way to go out. I mean, obviously Conor is like the notorious Conor McGregor, and he's notorious for being out of control and his antics are up. But that's when his fighting's amazing and when he's at the top of his game, it works. When he's not at the top of his game, and when he's the underdog and he's losing and he's still putting stuff like, hey, check your wife in my DMs. It's just like not cute anymore. And it's kind of unappealing. Like when you're winning, yeah, it's fun to root for the villain. But when the villain's losing, it's like, all right, dude, you just got your ass beat. And now you're injured on the floor getting interviewed by Joe Rogan. Like this is some kind of ring around the rosy patty cake type situation in kindergarten when everyone's just sitting around. And it's just kind of ridiculous. Honestly, it was fun. It was exciting the first round.
I think some of it was outside of the post fight antics. It was a really good round one.
Yeah.
The doctor called it after round one, you know, partially because Connor's ankle looked to be completely broken. His Achilles is probably torn as well. I don't know what the actual diagnosis is, but
I think he said it was a clean break of the tibia.
Okay.
Jesus.
So it's the lower leg, actually. Right. Rather than the ankle.
But it's a clean break, which is good. Usually that's better for recovery.
Yeah, he's only 32. They both are only 32. So if he could heal well, which sounds like it's going to be a lot easier for him to do so, he's a guy that I feel like can't stay away from the octagon.
Yeah, but he just looked overmatched by Poirier. Poirier was clearly dominating. As like obviously after once he slipped that headlock. Once he slipped the headlock, he was pounding the hell out of him.
I disagree. I think that yes, Poirier was going to win that round because he started to dominate on the ground. But at the beginning of the fight, it was pretty even. And when they got to like the 2.5 minute mark is when it flipped. He almost choked out Poirier. So I think that if they win another four rounds, I mean, I'm not saying that Dustin's going to dominate him the entire time. I think that people think that he was getting dominated because he was taking some blows to the head on the ground in the final 2 minutes. And then he started to bleed in the ear. And then at the end, obviously he snaps his leg, but that's a freak incident.
Yeah. Well, I mean, withstanding the incident, he was the minute he slipped the headlock, it was Poirier's fight. He was
that headlock happened at like the 2.5 minute mark.
Yeah.
and he had his head locked. He had him locked in there for like a good minute or so. So there was only like another minute and a half where Dustin was actually pounding his head.
Yeah. The longer the fight would have gone, the more it would have favored Poirier. Of course, I think a lot of people recognize Connor, and part of the reason why he's so much fun to watch is because he's such a good striker, and right. he's great with his knees and his elbows, and he's so long for how he's not a tall guy by any means, but he's his reach is incredibly long for his height, and yeah, it was unfortunate that the fight had to end in such a way. Obviously, you have to call it at that point. Poirier won round one. I expect he would have won the fight, but I would have liked to have seen it go deep.
Yeah, you always want to see
and have them go at each other. Yeah.
Look, by all means, I think that this was shaking up to be one of the more exciting main events we've seen in a long time. Usually, these main events have been very underwhelming, whether it's like a first round knockout where the guy just completely destroys the other guy, or it's a really boring fight where it goes to decision. That's how these UFC fights have been shaken out lately. But this one definitely was living up to the hype. It was unfortunate that it ended after round one. I think it's an illegitimate win for Dustin, but at the same time, I do believe that he would have won that fight, but they got to run it back if Connor, you know, recovers in time. I mean, there's so much bad blood that was left on the octagon with the trash talking at the end of the fight that
money.
Yeah. There's a lot of money too at stake. And if they have a rematch, it's going to be, I mean, every time we see this guy fight, it's always like the biggest pay-per-view of all time. I mean, this is going to top it all though, because just all of the back and forth trash talk that we were seeing. I mean, Connor talking shit about Dustin's wife. I mean, that's not cool, but also Dustin talking shit about a guy who's got a broken leg on the ground, like, you know, coming at him with.
Yeah. I mean, the intensity is there for sure.
Completely defenseless. Which is hilarious. I mean, you win the fight, like, no matter which way it's called, if you win the fight, you get first dibs at saying
also
your piece.
I did enjoy Dustin's post-fight interview. But there was something that he said. He said two things. There's one thing he said that's hilarious, and there's another thing that he said that was kind of made him seem like a little pussy, honestly. He was talking about murder, and the second you bring up murder, that's crossing the line. Like, you don't tell someone you're going to kill someone. It's like, come on, dude.
What?
Fighters say that shit all the time.
All the time. That was
Mike Tyson told Lennox Lewis that he was going to eat his children. Like, that's fighter trash talk. Like, I'm going to destroy you in the ring. I'm going to murder you. I'm going to take you out. You're going to leave on a stretcher. That's always been said. Dustin makes it sound like this is the first time he's ever heard some guy tell me he's going to kill him in the octagon. Like, I mean, that's technically like the duty of a fighter is to make sure that guy doesn't get back up, right? And obviously, we don't want to see anyone die, but it's a figure of speech. And obviously, Connor doesn't want to kill this guy, but that kind of was a little soft out of Dustin. Yeah, now, soft. He did say something fucking hilarious, though. Right. When he was saying, all you fans out there who are booing me, who are supporting Connor, kiss my whole asshole. That was an all-time line.
That was a good one. The whole asshole. The whole thing. I mean, I wonder how big his asshole is that it takes. Okay.
All right.
just out of curiosity speaking, isn't it crazy though that you used to go to fights and you want to see somebody die? Like back in the day.
You mean like gladiators?
Yeah,
like
gladiators.
Ancient Rome.
Like they used to go back there and be like, "Yo, if we don't see somebody die, this fight sucked." Like, isn't that crazy that was like the mindset, and now it's like. You know, if you see someone snapping it, we saw Connor like snap his tibia, I guess now it is. And the whole room, no one wants to see that. That's my point. It's like, no one wants to see someone like break an ankle. Back in the day, if we just walked out of there and all that happened was a broken ankle, we would have wanted our money back from the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Well unfortunately,
you're talking about like 1500 years ago, back in the day,
the good old days.
Also back in the day, if someone broke an ankle, you don't stop the fight, put him in an air cast. Like, that guy just gets executed.
He gets executed. Yeah, it's true. Exactly. I do think though that you do bring up an excellent point, Nick, that a lot of like the Usman fights have been kind of meh. I don't find Adesanya extremely exhilarating at times. I mean, not his fault. He just dominates guys in his weight class. And when he wanted to go fight Jan, he lost. That fight was just okay. The Costa fight, which honestly was supposed to be one of the top fights the past year, floundered. Not Adesanya's fault. Costa just was no match for him. It would be exciting. I mean, some fights.
The most exciting fighter to me is Nate Diaz. Because he just takes a beating every time, and he just does not give up. And like,
I was gonna say Ferguson too. Ferguson takes an absolute beating and doesn't give up. I mean, guys that just go in there and hit. I mean, we were watching whatever the Burns fight before the Burns fight in the Wonder Boy. First of all, Joe Rogan kept calling this guy Wonder Boy. I mean, this is like the worst. The worst nickname in the entire UFC.
Yeah.
Burns and Wonder Boy, they were at one point were like just like bouncing in front of each other. It's like, dude, what is this? Some kind of like weird sketch TikTok that we're just like doing some kind of uncomfortable dance for the audience. It's like, get in there, grapple, and beat some heads. You're too big to be doing that.
I mean, I thought like it's give and take, right? Like tactically, that was a really, really good fight.
Yeah.
Like technically and tactically, that was a great fight.
Yeah. We want to see some knockouts.
Yeah, and we saw knockouts. I thought holistically that card, that UFC 264...
Bam Bam was sick.
...was a fantastic event. I really thought that, like, as far as all across the board, every fight, me being relatively engaged, if not excited to be watching what the action that was happening in front of me, I don't think it disappointed. And a lot of the events do, just by nature of, like, one fight not hitting. But I think I was really impressed.
I thought the Hardy Bam Bam fight was sweet when Hardy
Tuivasa versus Hardy was Bam Bam, as you're saying. He did the shoeys afterwards. That was one of the most electric post game performances by any athlete ever.
Not only is it fuck COVID, we're packing the arena. Fuck COVID-19, we're doing shoeys.
Right. And for anyone who doesn't know, a shoey is taking off your shoe, pouring a full can of beer into it, and then chugging straight from the shoe.
Oh, we're getting that guy on our show.
It's happening. Doing shoeys for sure. Yeah. We have to do a shoey. Mm-hmm. You have to do a shoey with the shoe you showed Victor Cruz. Whatever shoe my you Alberts. Showed Victor Cruz, you have to do a shoey with.
So you're gonna boot?
Yeah, for sure.
That's disgusting.
Well, I'm not here to like play nice, Nick. I'm here to do a shoey. I'm here to do it the right way. And the right way is
good for you.
Like, thank you, Nick. I'm proud of myself.
But you look at the other two fights. O'Malley versus Moutinho was a third round knockout.
Thank God, O'Malley.
There was blood everywhere. Hairs of all different colors in that fight. One of my favorite fights was Aldana versus Kunitskaya. Yeah. Like, that fight was, she destroyed that girl.
The O'Malley one, though, is the guys, I saw a tweet that said those guys look like they run a vape shop. That are fighting right now, and I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah,
with the ridiculous O'Malley's hair is just off the charts ridiculous. He had a horrible injury too in mid fight, and he was supposed to be like the next guy up, like the next like big face of UFC.
Oh,
like,
he's gonna get his shot. I hope so.
He's a great fighter. He's also a great personality, and you kind of need that in the sport of in martial arts. The female fights are honestly good. At first, I think I've said this on the show. At first, I was wary of the female fights, but obviously they're incredible. And
I think I'm always
they're all
time. Really impressed.
And yeah, blown away. Nunez is fighting next, and she's an absolute tank.
She's the most dominant fighter in that entire.
She's probably the most dominant fighter in UFC.
Yeah,
realistically, now that Adesanya is, Usman, we'll see if anyone can beat Ngannou. I doubt it. I mean, Gain's got a shot. We'll see what happens there. There's Gain versus Lewis is like for the interim title. That's in August. And then the winner will fight Ngannou in September. They wanted John Jones to fight Ngannou, but that's like not going to happen because John Jones is literally out of his mind. The guy's a complete psycho. Speaking of out of your mind, you have to be out of your mind to be a goalkeeper in the Euros and PKs. I can't imagine anything more nerve-wracking than being a goalie.
Those goalies did their job. So Italy and England, yes. Championship game of the Euro Cup,
mm-hmm.
went to penalty kicks.
PKs.
It lasted the entire, it was 0-0, right? The entire game. It was
1-1. England actually scored in the first 2 minutes, the fastest Euro final goal ever.
Yeah.
So to score that quickly and then not get one the rest of the game is...
Right. They go 118 minutes plus extra time with no goals, basically.
It's honestly pretty remarkable.
But they go to penalties, and England knocks down their first two, right?
Yes, England hits their first two, and Italy and Pickford
goes 1-1.
Yeah, go 1-1.
Italy goes 1-1. But normally when you see penalty kicks, you see a goalie maybe block one, maybe two. And England saved two, and Italy saved two, and then the English player on, I think, the third shot missed it. Like, the goalie guessed the wrong way and he just completely missed it. And
was that Rashford?
Marcus Rashford missed it. Marcus Rashford tried to get too cheeky with it and literally pinged the side post. Donnarumma, who's super young.
So PK shooters for England, 3, 4, and 5, all younger than 23. So you would, fantastic talents, all of them, but not much experience, obviously.
You need some vets out there.
Tons of pressure. So it clearly cracked them.
They have vets, though, and they kind of ran their two. They ran their Rashford and Sancho, their two subs, I believe, and they ran their two subs out for PKs, and both those guys missed. I mean, Donnarumma is super young, and he won player of the tournament. Yeah. He's taken Buffon's literally been the goalkeeper for Italy our entire lives.
They asked Tim Howard, I think it was last week.
Yeah.
It was the game that It was Switzerland versus, who did they knock off? France.
Yeah.
Switzerland versus France. And Switzerland ended up winning that game in PKs as well. And they asked Tim Howard, you know, because they cut to like the ESPN like booth, like, you know, like the TNT booth, whatever. Like, what do you say to your teammates here as a goalie? And he goes, all I'm saying is just make your shots. I'm going to save one of them. Like, that's the best the goalie can hope for, is like just making one save. If you hit all five of your shots, I'm going to save one of them.
Yeah.
Tells you right now that those goalies out there had balls of steel, saving two each.
Yeah, it was like as good as Harry Kane is, it was like titled as like Pickford versus Donnarumma. I mean, there's a reason why Donnarumma won player of the tournament. I think him and this Spain and Italy had gone to PKs. It's not the first time he's done that this tournament. He's 6'5", 22 years old. He's an absolute, I mean, he stood, when Pickford was net, it had that daunting feel of like, oh my God, how's this guy going to save this? When England stepped up, when Harry Kane even, he was the first one to go for England, stepped up against Donnarumma, and this is Harry Kane, it still had that feeling of, it did not have that feeling, sorry, of like, oh my God, how's this goalie going to save this? That guy looked massive.
Yeah, I mean, if you're just a fit, like Manuel Neuer, like he's huge. Like some of these guys are just so tall. And when they kind of just like, what is it? What are the animals that when you see them in the wild, it's a bear. You're supposed to get as big as you possibly can. Like those goalies do that, right? They peacock, right? They get as big as they possibly can. And it just shows you how big these individuals are because the goal gets real small. Looks like a hockey goal.
I mean, these guys were massive. It was pretty crazy.
But congratulations to all the Italians out there.
I feel bad for my uncle.
They didn't qualify for the World Cup.
Yeah.
So pretty impressive. They got the Euro.
Dominated, dude. They guess how the possession. Guess what the split was? 66% to 34% Italy.
That's how you win a football game.
They almost doubled them in passes. Pass accuracy, smoked them.
Pass it to the Italians. We've been saying it for years.
Give it to the Italians. We've been saying it for years. It was honestly
pasta.
It was a crazy game, though. I mean, that's like if you're a soccer football fan, I mean, you really can't ask for much more out of this one. That was great.
Yeah.
We'll keep it in the national teams. Nigeria beat the U.S., which is, thank God it's happened now.
Absolute, in basketball.
In basketball. Absolute embarrassment.
Not soccer.
Absolute embarrassment.
It's tough. It's their first game, so you don't want to be too critical of them. But this is a sport where in past, the United States men's team has absolutely dominated.
They've beaten Nigeria before by 83 points. Like KD has beaten them by 83 points and now lost them by 3.
In 2012,
yes.
Yeah, this is a completely different Nigerian team. Is obviously everyone is giving them their due credit because they now have, I think, 8 NBA players as opposed to 1 on that 2012 team. So just a testament to basketball becoming way more of an international sport. You know, fantastic players in the NBA, like Luka taking their country for the first time to the Olympics, which is awesome. And, you know, you're going to see Giannis probably, we'll get into the Suns-Bucks game later, but you don't think he's going to suit up for Greece? He has been in past.
He has. I can't imagine. We'll kind of delve into it, I guess, because not much more to be said about this U.S. team other than what the absolute fuck was that.
Yeah, and people are saying like they don't have Drew Holiday, they don't have Chris Middleton, they don't have Devin Booker, which, okay, maybe you look at Holiday and Booker and you're like, those two guys can run the point. I mean, they don't really have a point guard on this team besides Damian Lillard, and even at that, Damian Lillard is a scoring point.
Yeah,
right?
But it's Damian Lillard. even if Damian Lillard, if it was Damian Lillard and like Keldon Johnson and the like the reserves or like the or like the matchup team, you know, that they play against, who by the way, some of these guys might now, like you're saying, you're telling me Esther Tusk may make the roster. If it was Damon, those guys, you would still probably favor the US because Damian Lillard is so much better than anybody Nigeria has, and it's not even close.
But this
we're talking about a guy who's a top five MVP candidate in the National Basketball Association.
Yeah, what's drastically changed internationally compared to what it was previously.
And they have guys
like in the 90s, in the 2000s, in the early 2010s, I guess we're in the 2020s now. So in the 2010s, like not only did we have the most talented, technically savvy basketball players, but we also had the freak athletes.
Yeah.
So, and these guys would play together and Kobe and LeBron are on the same team, but Carmelo was the leading scorer. Like you just have to step down and let other guys just ride the hot hand when you're talking about international play, when you have that many fantastic players. And I look at our current team and like, there's a lot of physical specimens as far as like very, you know, long wingspans, guys that are over 6'8" that can handle the rock, like Bam and Tatum and Durant, but it just doesn't feel the same as Vince Carter dunking over a guy, as LeBron and Kobe with Dwight in there as well. Like, we just can't physically dominate guys like we used to be able to because guys that are taller are playing basketball internationally like they didn't used to, and they're getting better coaching. They're getting better coaching when they get to those international games. So it's just going to be tougher competition from here on out. And I think it's great for the sport, obviously.
I'm happy about it. I'm not complaining about it.
Oh, hopefully USA rises to the challenge and, you know, over the next couple of games finds their footing and really dominates, but it's tough. It's tough to watch our team lose to the Nigerian national team.
Well, yeah, I mean,
definitely have a better looking uniform though. I'll say that the uniforms this year are swag.
You're a big fan?
I'm a big fan of those blue uniforms. Yeah.
I think they're
cool. I wasn't like,
I think like they're the best I've seen.
Yeah. I mean, usually they're just these. I like the flair to it. It's like what the Milwaukee Bucks wanted their uniforms to be, I guess. But yeah, I mean, I'm mad about it from a standpoint of like the USA basketball team should be embarrassed, but I'm happy from it from a competitive standpoint. Like, wow, maybe the US just won't walk through everybody this year. We'll actually see some good basketball. I mean, again, like, you know, also our guys are gassed.
Yeah.
We're talking about KD coming off a major injury going up. I don't know. Why is he doing this?
I don't know.
I don't know why he's doing this.
He loves basketball.
It's not like Damian. Yeah. I mean, it's not like Dame Lillard's been like fully healthy the past couple of years. I mean, you know, Tatum had missed time due to COVID and wasn't at full tilt for a while and had to work his way back. I mean, our guys are honestly beat the shit out of, be quite frank. We're running K Love, who can't do his NBA.
Yeah, but they're playing other NBA basketball players. So what's their excuse?
But the basketball players they're playing is Gabe Vincent and Precious Achiuwa are chilling on the Heat bench for the most part.
Yeah, and they won. They beat the United States men's Fresh national legs. Team.
That's my excuse.
We have guys who are okay with not playing internationally because they don't want to get hurt or they don't want to compete for other reasons. That didn't used to be the case 10, 15 years ago. And we got to see some utter dominance. I mean, part of this for me just kind of further glorifies those teams in the 90s. That 2018, that 2012 team to show how really fantastic those individual talents actually were.
What was the team that lost? Was it 22, was that 08 or 04?
I believe it was 04. I think we won back to back in 08 and 2012.
It got dominant. Well, after we lost that one, it got dominant.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, hopefully we get some guys coming back. I mean, next time around, LeBron's going to be too old at that point, but I'd love to see all of our guys on the team. Like Steph probably has one more in him. He could do it. I'd love to see him out there again.
Yeah.
Let's get all the best guys. Let's get our Monstar squad out there.
I mean, well, let's get like hopefully other guys are, you know, let's get Books coming also. He'll be there. But let's get Spida in the mix. Let's get all these guys like fully in the mix to like when they're Trey, like when they're really ready to go, like the young guys that are supposed to be great, kind of take that next step. It is unfortunate, like Giannis, Luka.
Jokic,
like those guys are not like coming through the door for us.
No.
Which is kind of crazy.
And people are like, oh, Dylan Brooks should be on the United States national team. They're like, Dylan Brooks is Canadian. Canadian.
That Canadian team's decent.
Yeah, good team.
RJ, let's go, baby. Bucks. Look, Bucks thrash the Suns, which is crappy for like our enjoyment, but it's good for the, like, at least, hey, look, we're going to get some more basketball. And it's a bit telling that this series may not be signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. And the Bucks actually have some legs to stand on, which now I'm hoping they take the next game and it's a good game. I'm just hoping for good basketball now that we know we have some breathing room. Had the Suns won this one, honestly, going into game four, I would have been like, I would not have cared at all, because you're not coming back from a 3-0. Coming back from 3-0 is pretty much impossible.
I think it's good for the NBA if either of these teams win, obviously, because they're quote-unquote smaller market teams, and obviously we get a guy like Chris Paul and Giannis winning for the first time, but it's not good for the NBA if it's a sweep or if it's a 3-1 win.
Absolutely not. 4-1, 4-0, that sucks. It was not, but you also want, now going forward, we need tight games for the NBA's sake and for our enjoyment and for the fanhood's sake. We can't have these like 20-point monstrosities where it's like, dude, the third quarter, I started cooking dinner. I sat down to watch the game with Toss halfway through the third. He and I were watching the game. End of the third quarter, I'm eating dinner. I took a FaceTime. The game was over. They brought Kaminsky.
I was on the toilet in the shower, and I didn't miss much.
Yeah. Dump, shit, shower, shave. They brought in Frank Kaminsky.
Well, they had to bring in Frank Kaminsky. Yeah,
Saric is out.
They tried to run the small ball lineup. Finally, Drew Holiday showed up, had 21 points. Middleton had 18. Like, you honestly, like, you looked at game one and two, you looked at what both of them did, and you were like, they even need to do more than what they did. Because at this point, it's kind of a given that Giannis is going to give us over 35 points and over 12 rebounds.
He was unbelievable.
Again, he was unbelievable.
Who do we know that's Kaminsky? Like, I mixed that up with
Brian and Andy Kaminsky.
The brothers, Lakers.
So, yeah, Kaminsky, Frankie K, former Wooden Award winner.
Yeah, he was a beast in Wisco.
Great in college, not a great pro.
No, not by any means.
It's tough because DeAndre Ayton was in foul trouble. Like Nick mentioned, Dario Saric is out with an injury. And when Ayton goes out of the game, it's just Giannis, Brooke Lopez time, and they just absolutely dominated the paint. I mean, they went small ball. The Suns were scoring, trying to cut it back. They cut it to six, basically on the shoulders of Cam Johnson, because Devin Booker was atrocious in this game.
I mean, Cam Johnson is also not big enough by any means to be helping out with these bigger guys. Always tall.
I more so meant on the offensive side of the ball. Yeah, you've got Jay Crowder and Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges playing on Giannis and Brooke Lopez, which is an impossible matchup.
That's the kicker, I guess. Get Ayton in foul trouble and this team's in trouble.
Cam Johnson did have a dirty dunk, though, did he not?
Cam Johnson had maybe I'd have to like really pull out the Pensieve and take a deep dive into my memories. It's one of the best live dunks I've seen in some time.
Yeah, I watched back. It was nuts.
It was absolutely absurd. It reminded me, there was a dunk that J.R. Smith had on the Nuggets when they were playing the San Antonio Spurs, where he jumped over Monte Ginobili and
J.R. Smith?
Yeah, J.R. Smith put his nuts in Ginobili's face.
Also, J.R. Smith, I forget who threw the oop, but when he was in the Knicks, someone threw an alley-oop, but he had a reverse alley-oop.
Yeah.
That was also one of the – J.R. Smith's got some great moments.
Terrible moments. Cam Johnson's dunk, which one of his biggest criticisms – when he was getting drafted was that he had a lack of athleticism. Certainly didn't show it in tonight's game. He was great. Tried to help them come back, but they had to go zone against the Bucks in the third quarter. And anytime the Bucks missed a shot, Giannis just got the rebound and put it right back in. So
yeah,
Bobby Portis was great too. He had 8 rebounds off the bench. He's a spark plug.
I called that one. That was one I called from the jump.
That normally happens though, right? Your role players normally step up when they're at home. Yeah. Connaughton had a good game.
I said that from the beginning of the year that was a good pickup.
It was a great pickup for them. So we'll see. You know, Suns pulled Booker like late in the third quarter. I mean, he's got the most minutes out of anyone in the playoffs.
He's bounced.
He was gassed. He was missing open shots, all of them short. So clearly, like, it's worn down on him a little bit.
Get Ayton in trouble again.
Yeah, we'll see. Right, like, this will be a really telling game for the Suns. If they're kind of the real deal, if the Bucks have figured them out in some way. Giannis, just want to give him some credit. you know, we've compared him to Shaq before. Only the two of them have had back-to-back 40 and 10 games in the finals, which is incredible, incredible feat by him. He looks the most comfortable and confident I've ever seen from him on the offensive side of the ball. There was a possession in the second quarter.
In the playoffs. During the regular season. No.
This is
just
different.
Overall.
He's unlocked something different.
I also think it helps that he's at home too. I mean, he's not getting the 10, 9.
People still kind of do.
No, they were not doing it this game. They were not. It was completely silent.
I heard it like a couple of times.
Not as loud.
Probably
not,
Suns fans then.
Yeah. Yeah,
like the commentary, like the commentary crew was like, this is so quiet. It's so funny that like in Phoenix, it's massive.
Yeah.
10, 9, 8.
He's like moved so past that, I feel.
And he's shooting pretty well from the line. But there was one possession in the second quarter where he was like, he grabbed an offensive rebound. He had Jay Crowder on him.
Yeah.
And opposite wing wide open for a three was either Teague or Holiday. And he looked at him dead in the eyes, looked at Jay Crowder, who was defending him, and was like, nah, to himself, nah, I'm not passing to my open teammate, because I know that if I post up, if I throw two shoulders into Jay Crowder, I'm going to get right to the rim and get a layup. And it's the first time I've seen, like, Giannis loves to make the team play.
He's a good passer.
He's a great passer. He had 6 assists tonight. He had multiple triple doubles in his career. But just kind of that wherewithal to look at the matchup, assess it, and say, I know I can get a bucket and no one can stop me. Like, that's an offensive mindset that I haven't really seen him have.
Yeah. Thank God he realized it. Thank God Budenholzer probably says something to him. Like, dude's been like Tommy Bahama, drunk uncle, the entire playoffs, it looks like. And fine, I'm sure he says, hey, dude, by the way, you know you can get a bucket anytime you want. And if you can't get a bucket because Ayton's out there, just get him in foul trouble, which he did.
Yeah, I don't know if Bobby Moynihan's stunt double has that wherewithal to tell Giannis, but Giannis is playing fantastic. So I'm excited for game 4 to see how the Suns come back. It's crazy. The Bucks arena, like you were saying, Nick, was really, really electric. They were helping the Bucks out a lot. There were a lot of awesome plays, a lot of big dunks from Giannis, major threes from Jrue Holiday. But that that like plaza where they all watched the game,
it's electric.
There were more fans out in that plaza than fit in the arena.
I didn't even know there were that many people in Milwaukee.
Yeah, what's going on in Milwaukee?
People are like, Rodgers is leaving. The pack's done. Brewers, it's only July.
They're 10 Milwaukee's best deep, and they are just in the streets.
Milwaukee sports is like hot.
Very.
Really hot, actually, even with withstanding like the Rodgers situation. Milwaukee sports is, which is great. As like an objective.
Too bad that's not Milwaukee.
Too bad what? What did he say?
So too bad that's not Milwaukee.
Yeah. Well, it's like, but they're like, it's Green Bay. It's like the same Wisconsin feel. Wisconsin sports is hot. Like, they resonate with the Packers. They don't root for anybody else. I don't
know. Wisconsin sports are hot, except former Badger Frank Kaminsky.
Yeah. Frank Kaminsky, not hot.
And the University of Wisconsin.
Yeah. So, University of Wisconsin's kind of
slash. So the next game's on Wednesday. It's cool that now we get some breathing room in between each game. Now that we're in the finals, we don't have a Western Conference and an Eastern Conference games going on.
Yeah,
it only helps Giannis, who I guess hyperextended his leg last series. I guess doesn't seem like he did.
Allegedly, I think that Chris Paul is also, it helps him out as well, in the sense that, like,
yeah.
So we're basically gonna get So Wednesday is what date? The 14th.
That's correct. Yes.
And then like Friday, we're pretty much going from NBA Finals right into the draft. Jesus, yeah. Right into the off season. Basketball never stops.
They don't give you any time anymore. Let me tell you.
Time to breathe. Basketball, right into the Olympics and then baseball. But cool. Good stuff. Get excited for the All-Star game. It's going to be a fun one. We'll recap that one come Wednesday on our radio show and our podcast.
Yeah. Tennis news.
Oh, yeah. Toss, you've been giving your take.
Yeah. Djokovic now has tied Federer and Nadal for majors. They're all tied at 20.
Yeah.
He's 34.
Yeah.
Nadal's 35. Federer's 39.
And you think that?
Well, he's won the three majors so far, the U.S. Open, starts August 29th and will be done in the middle of September.
Yeah.
And if he wins, he not only secures the Grand Slam for this year, but he will be the most winningest athlete in male tennis.
And he's the youngest of the three as well, so he's got more time.
Yeah, I don't see him, and he hasn't had any major injuries by Nadal. I don't think how you can't call him
the best.
And look, if he doesn't win the U.S. Open, which I expect him to do, he only dropped one set in the Wimbledon final.
Oh my God!
Yeah, he was really? He was phenomenal in the preceding three matches.
Dude can't be beat.
I don't know if he dropped a set. Maybe he dropped one. So he's on fire. I expect him to win the U.S. Open, but if he doesn't, like Nick said, he's the youngest out of the three of them. Like, he's still got plenty of gas left in the tank.
We need more players that are good.
There's guys on the come up.
He's just that good. It just stinks. That's why I hate a sport where one guy is so flipping dominant.
Why?
Because I like competition. I like the uncertainty that sports brings. When one guy is so good and dominant.
Yeah, it's just he's that good and dominant until one other guy comes up and is the not the next Djokovic. But
if like that's why college football kind of like it sometimes frustrates the shit out of me. It really does. Because like I can't take – it's not even that I hate Bama. It's just like, what are we doing here?
So you don't like watching Michael Phelps swim in the Olympics?
It's different. To me, that's a little different in point.
Are you saying Bolt running?
What?
Are you saying Bolt running?
I think that to me it's different.
Or Simone Biles. She landed some trick
on
a floor routine.
Meryl Streep winning Oscars?
It's every 4 years. Well, Meryl Streep, it's like every year. It's every 4 years. And they're
But that's also that's subjective.
And it's subjective. It's every 4 years. And look, I'm excited for Novak Djokovic to win the Grand Slam. That's exhilarating to me. But I'm talking about just from a competition standpoint. Like, and it's again, like swimming is not like a tennis situation where it's like there's these big players, you know everybody. You pretty much know Ryan, you know Lochte, you know Phelps.
Okay, but
there's not many faces. Ditto with Usain Bolt.
But Djokovic, if he gets his 21st major, he did it majority of it in the prime of Federer and Nadal's career. Like this year, he beat Nadal in the French Open, which has been Nadal's
on clay.
Exactly. Yeah, he's won 12 majors.
It would just be cool for the sport that tennis is to have more guys in the mix.
Well, there's a young Greek individual who's 22. Kragos. Tsitsipas is the guy that lost to Djokovic, I think, in the Australian Open. Mm. So he's supposed to be pretty good. Nice. But again, like he's 22 and I think Djokovic had already started winning by then. Yeah. So it's like these guys got to win like their first big major when they get bumped up.
It just is like, I mean, the thing with Phelps and Bolt, I mean, I love Usain Bolt, my favorite athletes. It was just, to me, it was more of a marvel what they were doing. It was more of a special like occasion. Hey, it's the Olympics. You don't get to see Usain Bolt run yearly. Or it's not publicized.
Right.
You only get to see this once every 4 years, and he's breaking records. And Phelps is going for like a million gold medals. And at that point, it's like you know you're never going to see this again. Maybe where like Djokovic, you could see it. Someone could conceivably do it. Like Federer did it, Nadal did it, Djokovic did it. And granted, there will be guys that come more. I'm just hoping in the next batch of guys, it's just a bit more competitive, and they are all on that level.
It's funny that you don't like the domination. And meanwhile, you're a Pats fan.
It's true. It's a good point.
Well, it's interesting. Like,
how boring is that? The Pats win all the time, huh?
Well, objectively, like it's like if I was not a Pats fan, it would suck. It would actually suck.
I think it sucks, but it's also sometimes really great for the sport too. Because when someone beats the Pats, like when the Giants win and they're 9-7,
that was insane.
It becomes like these epic sports moments. When the Mavs beat the Heat, this like super team. It's an epic sports moment. Like that's how we get these fantastic moments that we never forget.
I don't think I'm in the majority. Either.
I think it's really interesting that like we're seeing a changing of the, like, as we've talked about, we've alluded to often, like Booker being in the finals, Giannis being there is like a changing of the guards, so to speak, even though Chris Paul is there as well. It's happening like all across sports. And maybe it's just by nature of how old we are and like that we've seen
generations, but
now it's like LeBron and Brady and like Djokovic, like how much longer is he going to do it? Federer will be gone. Messi and Ronaldo. Like when will they step aside? Like Phelps is basic. He's out.
No, he's done. We did a conscious 15-year clip, 10 to 25.
Yeah.
So when you're 10, you're really aware.
Pujols is right. Like how many more years does he have?
Yeah. Well, he's going to get 700.
One more.
He's got to get to 700. But yeah, I mean, like when you're 10, you really have a good grasp of sports. Like you're like at the novice level of where we are now. And then you get to 25 and that's like a 15-year clip where guys cycle through.
Wow. It's kind of crazy because Nick, who has witnessed so many sports woes in the last 20 years, last 26 years, his entire life, could have the face of baseball and potentially the face of the NFL as well.
One of, for sure.
One of the faces.
Should be.
I mean, obviously Mahomes is going to probably be the brightest star, right? And will shine the longest and the brightest out of any of those guys.
You can't ask for anything more than what Herbert's going to potentially bring the challenge.
But Nick, are you excited about that? That you and I, that you have someone in the NFL, you have someone in the MLB, I've got someone in the NBA, and Josh has maybe someone in the NBA, but
I mean,
I also have the team with the best record.
I will say though, that doesn't matter if they're the face of the league, if they're not going to put up wins and they're not going to win championships, I can care less. So it's fun. It's super fun to watch Tatis play, and it's super fun to watch Herbert play. And I'm obviously a bigger Tatis fan, and I think that they have a better shot at actually winning it all. But if it doesn't transfer to World Series rings, or if it doesn't transfer to Lombardi trophies, then it don't mean
jack. Yeah, that's they get their first on their skill, and then they have to cement themselves amongst the great by winning.
Correct. Yeah. Mahomes has already done it. He's done it once, you know.
And he's been there twice.
He's not finished. He's been there twice, exactly. So
I don't think Josh. I'm not going to give your The Red Sox are having a tremendous season, but a season by itself is not like indicative of someone transcending talks of sports
there
past
is
time.
One guy,
no one is going to mention this Red Sox team in 7 years.
If we win, they won't.
Probably not.
And it's sad. Because there's one guy on our team that is at his current pace, is an absolute Hall of Famer.
I think that this team had low expectations, and I think that it will be mentioned because people didn't really think that they were going to be this good of a team.
I thought we were going to be mediocre. Best,
I'm talking like
a superstar.
Transcendence of generations by how good a team is or how good
that
an individual
team was that
they
good.
Got five. This team's got five all-stars. I mean, it's a great baseball club.
Yeah. I'll say this to you.
I'm just saying all across the board,
we
sports,
don't have a Luka.
Rarely guys that get talked about past 20 years.
In baseball.
In any sport.
In baseball, we have one guy on our team, Xander Bogaerts, who is an absolute superstar. And for some reason or another, I don't know why, maybe he doesn't have the swagger. He was always overshadowed by Mookie. That's an underappreciation thing. JD's kind of taken some of the bulk there. He's never been like the face of the Red Sox when he deserves to be so. And he's proven time and time again, but we don't have a Luka. I mean, Tatum, probably, hopefully Mac Jones. I mean, I don't know. We'll see what the fuck happens there. But Tatum is like, I guess our guy, but I don't think he's obviously as good as Luka. And if you can equate it to Fernando Tatis Jr., he's probably not as good as Fernando Tatis Jr. is in a baseball sense.
I mean, a lot of it also does with the branding and the swag and, you know, getting out there in the media as well. And I just think that Bogaerts is more of a soft-spoken guy who doesn't really.
If he had your swag, he would be the face.
Yeah, if he had my swag, then maybe he could have been cemented as the GOAT, but he doesn't. So if I had his talent, I'd be one of the best baseball. I'd be the face of baseball.
Yeah. I'm just going to start playing a really unfair game and saying in 50 years, will people talking about sports know that person's name?
That's a great game to play.
In 50 years, love that Xander game. Bogaerts, it's an interesting name. So I think he's got a good chance.
Can we do like draws out of the hat?
There's
fun. Could
there's
we make a video out of this.
There's like few like guys in 50, like Tom Brady. I know he will be mentioned. Yeah. You know,
dude,
like
100 years,
probably. Yeah.
Cool.
Don't need to get into the global warming warming and how terrible things are going to look pretty soon here.
But on that note, does anybody have any sponsors this week? Just BetOnline, our boys.
Yeah, BetOnline.
Go to BetOnline. Bet. And on that note, we'll roll out. But I think we should do a fun video where we toss. You could throw some names in the hat, or we'll all throw a couple names in, and we draw.
Yeah.
Intern draw.
Like I love the guy, but in 50 years, no one's going to talk about Alfonso Soriano.
We should do across. We should cross everything, not just sports, entertainment, politics.
Yeah, for sure. I'm down. That's
life.
This is a great game.
Celebrity chefs, podcasters.
Yeah, this is awesome. Everyone,
there's a better chance. Like, who's more like you? Logan Paul has a better chance of outliving like a ton of the athletes
performing. Well, yeah,
now, which is a bummer.
No, I agree with you, Toss. I think Josh, it seems like he's disagreeing with this, but I agree with you, Toss. I think that they're
I was agreeing with that.
Oh, okay. Well, you kind of gave me a stank face.
I was giving a stank face like it's sad.
Okay. Well, anyway, Logan Paul and Jake Paul have a wider reach than baseball players do.
A lot of guys.
You look at the MLB All-Star voting, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is just kind of a gauge to show you how many people actually watch baseball. I'm sure it's more than just how many people voted, because like, I don't think like every single baseball fan goes out of their way to vote for the All-Star game. But with that being said, Fernando Tatis Jr. got 2.5 million votes, right? That was like the leading ML vote getter. I'm willing to bet that 70% of people had him number one on their ballots, right?
Yeah.
So it makes sense that maybe like 3 million, maybe 4 million people voted on the All-Star game. Logan and Jake Paul get millions and millions of views on their videos, and they're worldwide names across, you know, China. Yeah.
50 hey. Years from now, Logan Paul, is he in an American history book?
I don't know what the fuck they're going to consider history. I don't know if vloggers are going to make that big of an impact.
I delved into how I
I don't
the environment in 50 to 100 plus years, American history in 50, 75.
Yeah, 50 years ago. We're not seeing Al Pacino in like history books, because they don't really consider entertainment like a part of history. So
Al Capone, though, he was there.
Al Capone, yeah, because he killed some people.
Do you think
Logan Paul's got to kill a guy in the ring?
I think there will be
Al Pacino
in 50 years. Wait, what?
Al Capone or Al Pacino? Will Al Capone outlive Al Pacino?
How old is Al Capone right now?
No, he's dead. But like, I mean, he's dead as fuck. But
you confused me there.
I'm saying you use the term outlive, and I like that term. So I just started.
Okay, so are you saying in 50?
I wanted to fit in and use it too.
Who's going to be more relevant longer?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Al Capone or Al Pacino?
I would have to say Al Pacino, just because of the fact that Al Pacino has won multiple Oscars and he cemented himself in like film.
Well, yeah, people are going to have
status.
Film libraries in 100 years. And when
Al Capone.
When we're all on Mars.
Tell them, Nick. And they both outlive Al Pacino.
Alpa?
Alpha.
Okay. Al Capone? Al Pacino?
Al Pacino?
Or Al Pacino, the character from Tropic Thunder who coined the soft drink booty sweat.
Wait. Time out. I've seen the movie a million times.
His name is Al Pacino. Or at least that's his stage name.
I thought it was Al Pacino.
No. Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah. Am I wrong? No.
It's the exact same misspelling. Dude, it's Al Pacino. They just put the space in a different spot.
Oh.
Yeah.
See that movie all the time. Learn something new every day.
That's what happens when one of your ears works. The other one doesn't.
Deaf, dude. This is a disaster. Anyway, fans out there, drag both feet inbound, swing on a full count, rip that puck at that putt.
Or
get your PKs because they're free. Yeah, Nick.
I was gonna throw in Alfie the alpaca. He's a famous alpaca on Instagram.
Yeah. Well, three cheers.
I'm gonna put him at the bottom of the
list. Yeah. he's toeing the line. And hit your free throws. Why, guys?
Because they're free, and they're also presented by Bet Online.
Yeah. We love you.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.